honest question. How many of you are afraid from time to time and dealt with fears? I don't know what exactly happened. I think someone said that when you have kids, certain things start kind of kicking in. I was never really a person that was afraid of a lot of things. I was pretty much of a daredevil. But for whatever reason, just after, I remember the time frame, so it was real to me. Just after my daughter was born, I went on a trip with a bunch of teenagers. That should be a scary thing all by itself. But I went with a bunch of teenagers to Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. How many of you have ever been to Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk? Just curious. Okay. So it's not that major league. It's not like, you know, Six Flags or anything like that. It's pretty cool. But as we went there and we were having fun, the kids talked me into going on the little bucket thing. The bucket ride, what do they call that thing? The sky tram thing, whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Where you go over everybody, you look down, and, you know, pretty, no big deal, right? You're just going about eighth of a mile an hour. You're just kind of cruising along. And so we got up in this bucket thing, and it's Santa Cruz. It's not like at the zoo or Magic Mountain or anything. It's kind of like not very high. It's just kind of right, a little bit higher than this ceiling. It's really like, there it is. But when we got up there, for whatever reason, it might have been the fact that I had three teenagers in the bucket with me that thought it was funny to kind of do this thing and shake it all around. And I'm literally white-knuckling it and freaking out because I'm so afraid. I'm like, knock it off! Knock it off! And I'm just like literally about to lose it with these teenagers. And I remember having my first real fear of heights. And it's never quite left me. Although God has not given me a spirit of fear. It's a scripture we're using this morning. It's never quite left me. So I'm not really a big fan. I've had to, from time to time, adjust these lights and get up on a ladder. And I'm telling you, anybody else can relate at all? I'm just curious about the heights thing. It's just me. And yet I can get an airplane and just kind of go, oh, it's nice down there. For whatever reason, it doesn't bug me. But heights, ladders, certain things cause me fear. Well, I want to talk today a little bit as we continue in our series, the Lenten series, about giving up not just fear, but specifically timidity. The concept, the shyness or the bashfulness, if it is, if you will, when it comes to us sharing our faith, sharing our beliefs, just sharing your story with other people. What has Jesus done for you? I want to talk about that today. When we entered into this series about Lent, we talked about and setting the stage is that we're going to set some things aside in order to pick up some things with God. We're going to make room for faith. It's not about setting things aside as I thought when I was a kid. I'm going to stop eating chocolate for 40 days and Jesus will love me more. It was kind of how I equated that. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else relate to that at all? I would stop. We're going to put something aside, and so God will love me more. Listen, I've got news for you. God already loves you, and he's not going to love you any more than he already loves you. He loves you a ton. Now it's just a matter of receiving that. What we're saying is that by setting something aside, I'm showing God how much I love him. And in a sense, showing the world how much I love him. It's just a sacrifice, and it's something that I can give up. We talked about giving up discomfort. Talked about laying down our walls or giving up our walls. Talked about giving up our need to control everything and giving up our sin. I want to stop just briefly and say many of you guys have been praying for Joe and Shelly, and they are still in the hospital. Things are moving fast and rapidly. When I say the giving up control thing, all I can do is think of him because he keeps saying, you know, God's in control and I'm not. God's in control and I'm not. And so just a very, very brief update. They're moving ahead with making provisions for him to go into a rehab facility. It's not a convalescent facility. It's literally physical therapy, 3 hours a day, rehab, trying to redo some things. But I got to give you this. Is that okay if I give you like a really a God thing? This is crazy stuff. Like when I heard it, it was prophetic, okay? And I can't wait to share this. But a fifth of his brain, basically, I'm estimating, cause I'm not a doctor, but it looks like about a fifth of his brain is gone. When they got in there and they took the thing out, they said that it was pretty obvious that it had been there for a while. He had been having headaches since about 2007. So you do the math. It's been there for a minute. And so that's been there. They took it out. And she said, one, because it was growing, it was there so long and it had been growing slow. She believes it was a low-grade glioma. And then after that said, we're actually not even sure it's a glioma. It's probably a protein, whatever, some sort of fancy word I can't pronounce, and is less severe. But here's the thing. This was just when she said it, I was like, I almost had a Holy Ghost moment. I wanted to run up and down the hallways and scream Jesus all up and down. She said, we believe because it's been there so long that the brain has been constantly remapping. That's why you haven't lost any physical functions. Yes. Are you kidding me? That is my God. I'm like, he'll make a road in the wilderness. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. The entire time this thing's been existing, God's just been remapping things for the glory of God. And I'm telling you, there are miracles happening in that family. There are many of the family members that don't have a relationship with God at all. And there are miracles happening within that family right now as they stand up and they testify. And they're young in their faith. And I love young Christians because they're like baby rattlers. They just don't know when to stop telling everybody, just going to tell people what Jesus did. And when God heals you of something crazy like that, just amazing, that's worth celebrating. So I just wanted to give you a quick update. Last week we talked about giving up our sin, and we specifically were thinking of those things that just so easily beset us. The Bible talks about it. This is the thing that you could put your hand on right now. It's like, yeah, I got to stop doing that. It's something I just want to lay aside. And so today I want to look at this and pray for an anointing on this message as we look at giving up our timidity. The scripture says in 2 Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and self-discipline. The Living Bible puts it this way, for the Holy Spirit, God's gift, does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. I want to be transparent with you today and tell you that my personal desire is to get back to the basics with Jesus. I have just come to this place. I am, almost 55 this week, this next week, 10 days on the 10th. Yeah. Keep your presence coming. No, anyway, on the 10th. But I'm like, I'm not sure why it took me to 55 to feel like I do, to have some of the senses that I do right now. Like, maybe you can relate to this, those of you that are 55 or older. As you get older, you just don't care what anybody thinks anymore. Somebody else's opinion. And I don't mean that in a negative. Well, maybe for some of you, it's a negative thing. I don't mean that in a real, forget you kind of a mindset. But just, I'm not here to please people anymore. Like when I was in high school and I wanted that guy to like me, I don't even remember his name. And he certainly doesn't remember mine. Remember those days where you just spent your time trying to please people? And it, when you come to faith, sometimes it causes you to back off and you're looking at people. I don't really care anymore so much about pleasing anyone. I want to please God. I want to have a boldness with my face. With my face and my faith. My face is bold enough. I get it. But when Jesus says some things in the scriptures, and for those of you that are wanting to know God's will for your life, I'm going to give you his will for your life. There are things that Jesus specifically said, and it's not a mystery. The Bible says pray, so I'm going to pray more than I've ever prayed before. I just feel like we're going to pray more. We're going to pray next week. We're going to lay hands on we haven't ever done this. We're going to lay hands on all 25,000 eggs, not all, We're not going to lay 25,000. We're going to lay hands on 25,000 eggs. We're going to pray for them and believe for God for an anointing. I want to pray more. I want to worship harder. I want to worship stronger. When God says give, I want to give more. When he says to be a follower of Jesus, that I ought to be expecting miracles as I'm following him. And the fact is, the Bible says signs and wonders follow those of us that believe. And so I want to believe for those things. I want to have quick faith. I don't want God to have to get through layers and layers and layers of me any longer. It's just kind of like I want to strip off all those extra layers and say, God, give me a sense of joy and a sense of boldness, holy boldness that I've never had before. And so that being said, fear can come in and grip you. How many have ever been to one of those water slide things? Like the really tall one. See, being in youth ministry, you have to do all kinds of brain damage kind of things like that. So I'm at Raging Waters and they have this big stinking 75-foot drop thing that all the kids are going on. And I'm, again, afraid of heights. But I get talked into it and I go all the way up there. And I'm not joking. I'm like, back in the day, this was pre like internet. I could have Googled all kinds of like water slide fails and it would have really scared me to death. I thought for sure I was going to be a water slide fail. I just remember just being up there and just like, you couldn't see the bottom. You don't know, where am I going with this? And it's like, all I know is for that first couple of seconds, I could swear to you that nothing about my body was touching anything. I slid and then there was nothing touching. There was nothing touching. Like, I could swear to you that that was the case. It wasn't the case, I'm sure. But there was a sense of, and when I got down to the bottom, I was like, oh my gosh. And thankfully I did it, and now I never have to do it again. It's not one of those things, let's do it again. And I was like, no, that was once, and once is enough. What I'm saying is that, yes, I enjoyed it. And when I let my timidity or my fear of the thing kind of fall apart, it was kind of fun after the fact that, well, I wasn't going to do it again. It was just fun. Sometimes I think as we are following Christ with our faith and the Lord, you know, prompts us to do some things, I just believe that we ought to be, okay, I'm going to speak personally. I want to be more sensitive than I've ever been before to the promptings of the Holy Spirit when He asks me to do something. So you guys all know what I'm talking about. You meet someone, and whatever the interaction was, what the interaction was, but there was something about the interaction that you felt a sense that you should say or do something, or there was some sense, and then you walked away going, gosh, I was going to say, even if, can anybody relate to that at all? I thought I should tell them about Jesus or whatever. And so now I kind of at that place where I'm like, I'm just going to go with it and see what God does. I'm not going to be timid about it any longer. I'm just going to go for it. And so a couple of weeks ago, I heard a message, and the message was talking about it doesn't cost you anything to be good to people. Just could tell people have a nice day and just kind of be nice to folks. And I thought, you know, it's like, what a novel concept, right? Walk around you and being nice. And I thought, you know, I'm going to deliberately go around and try and be nice. And so I have literally for the last several weeks, as I see someone serving or doing, I'm like, you know what? You're doing a fantastic job. Anybody been to the post office lately? There's a reason why they call it going postal. Because it's, so I'm at the post office to get two rolls of stamps that Luann sent me to go get. And I get there, and there's just a line of people, and people don't have their act together, and they haven't wrapped their boxes, and somebody's always writing a check. Who writes checks? So I'm losing it. I got my patience is being tested and all this stuff, and they have one person. And there's 27 people, and one person working, and I hear her calling for her helper to come. And sure enough, after about, I don't know, 5 minutes, the helper finally got up there. Goes about, fast forward, I get to the front, and she looks at me, she can help you, I came up, I go, I just need two rolls of stamps. She looked at me like, something simple, thank you, get out of, you can get in, get out of here. She got done, we did the stamps, whatever, and I just, kind of, for whatever reason, it was just there, I said to her, I go, you know what, you're doing a fantastic job today, and all the people behind, I said it loud enough where everybody could hear me. She goes, well, thank you for saying so, I said, have a blessed day, and I walked away, and I don't have a clue what it did. I didn't have to, you know, she didn't get saved right then and there. I didn't baptize her in, you know, the back sink at the post office. I just made her have a nice day. I had a prompting of the Holy Spirit on Friday as I was driving. I went up to the bank, and then as I was driving back by, Alpine Sun. Anybody know the people at the Alpine Sun? Well, I do because I drop our ads off there all the time. So I know a few of the ladies that work at the Alpine Sun. As I'm driving by, I'm thinking of them, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to brighten their day. Well, okay. So I thought I'd just run back in there and brighten their day. But like, I'm not that much. So how am I going to brighten their day? So as I'm driving back, I thought, no, I'm going to really. So I drove all the way up to Albertsons, and I, for $15, being good to people doesn't cost you anything unless you spend $15, but it was worth it. It's $15. I bought a nice little plant. I drove back and I walked in there. I said, listen, I just wanted you guys to have a hi, you know, hi, Pastor Greg. Hey, I wanted you to have a great day. Oh, you just made my day. And I just left. And I thought to myself, as I was getting back to the car, I'm like, why don't you do that more often? It's, you know what? It's like addictive. Like I went away feeling like, and I'm saying this, by the way, like this is not a, wow, let's crown Pastor the king of being nice. Or, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying like, I literally think, what's wrong with me that I'm not like this more often? It's addictive. I want to stir up that sense of urgency, if you will. That the time is short and folks are hurting. And I just want to share my faith and not be, kind of stuck with the mentality that I think we have sometimes, that evangelism or sharing our faith is limited to the corporate body of Christ to do. Well, we pay our tithes, we do all these things, we're just going to count on the church to do it. You know, we put a sign out front and we've got, you know, nice chairs and, you know, the building's comfortable and people will just know to come. They will not. It's up to us to invite them to come. It's up to us to get the word out. It's up to us to spread the news. It's up to us to share our story. What I'm talking about, as I get ready to get into the depth of this, what I want to talk about today is literally a cultural shift or a cultural change within our body. That every one of us in this room begins to take a personal responsibility to go out and compel those people to come to church. That we would go out and you know somebody, that you go out and compel them. Now, let me stop for a moment. As I say this, it sounds a little bit like I'm asking you to go out and do some sort of multi-level marketing sales pitch thing where you invite people to. No, I'm not. This is not, hey, try my product. It works for me. It could work for you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying Jesus works for everybody. And people need Jesus. We have a product that you don't have to be ashamed about. I'm not ashamed of Jesus, and I'm going to be as bold as I can be. I don't need to get in somebody's face about it, but I know this. It's my responsibility to get outside of these walls. And let me just say this on a personal level. If I have to fill this church by myself, I will do it. That's how personally responsible I'm taking it. That's not anything on anybody else. I'm just telling you, that's how I'm taking it. I'm going to personally take responsibility to make sure that I invite folks to come. There's this incredible story in the Bible where Jesus is speaking to the crowds and the disciples say, hey, they're getting hungry. We're going to lose a crowd. I'm paraphrasing. Is that okay? We're going to lose a crowd unless we feed them. And Jesus says, well, what do we have? Here's some fish. Here's some loaves. And so Jesus says something to them. He says, you feed them. Now, this is Jesus, the guy that laid hands on people and they were sick and they recovered, blind people. So Jesus knows there's a crowd full of people that need food. He could have easily went, Father, would you send fishes and bread now? It would have happened. Amen? Instead, he put the personal responsibility to feed them on his disciples. He said, take what it is that you have in your hand and go out and begin to feed them. What I'm saying is this. Do you think Jesus could just kind of like, we could wake up Easter Sunday morning and you don't have to invite anybody to church. Everyone's just going to wake up on Easter Sunday morning in all of East County and go, you know, I should go to Bethel. I saw their banners. I think some might, but in reality, we've got to take the personal responsibility to invite folks to come to church. And really, in all honesty, let me say this from a kingdom perspective, I could care less what church they go to. If you invite them to church and they go to somebody else's church, God bless. That's awesome. Because we couldn't handle all of them, but they showed up anyway. You're hearing my heart. It's about taking a personal responsibility to invite folk to come. And a lot of times, we kind of hide. Some of our walls are like, well, Pastor, I'm not as outgoing as you are. I'm a little shy. Well, I'm not asking you to stand in the pulpit. Fear of public speaking is a massive thing. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just asking you, in your world that you're in on a regular basis, if you wouldn't take the time to invite someone to come, that you wouldn't take the time to let them know that they're invited to sit with you at Easter. And Jesus, when he first called his disciples, think about it for a moment. There are 12 of them. You think that God has no idea about your limitations? Isn't that funny how we do that? You know, God calls us to do something. We start telling him about our limitations. Like Moses, well, you know, I can't speak very well, right? We start telling God, we make the excuses. Start telling God, well, I'm not the outgoing personality. You know, say that to the people. And there were a couple of disciples that had total foot and mouth disease. They didn't know when to shut up. And so God could obviously use them, but Jesus wanted to use all of them. And so he sent out all of them, and guess what the Bible says? They all went. None of them hid behind their personalities or the walls that they had. I'm not saying that you have to go and be something you're not. Be authentic, completely authentic. But listen, the light that Jesus called us is supposed to shine. The salt is supposed to be salty. And the light doesn't do any good. What good is light shining in a room full of lights? I'm not here to outshine you. I want to bring the light to the darkness. This isn't Home Depot where you go down the light aisle and it's like, oh, look at all the lights. Oh. We're not here to outshine one another. We want to get out of this place and go shine the light. The purpose of the light is to shine in the darkness, which is out wherever we live, obviously. Interesting, though, the personalities of the disciples. I think they came into play, but God knows how to use those personalities. I know we're all different. I know there's some of you that are type A personalities. I know there's some of you that could care less what anybody thinks. You're just going to tell them about Jesus. There's other of you that you're so concerned that they're going to reject you. Well, they're not rejecting you. They're just rejecting Jesus. They're not rejecting you. How is it about you that you say to them something like, hey, where do you go to church? Oh, I don't go to church. I don't believe in church. Why do we take that on? But we do. It's a human nature thing. We'll just take that on. Oh, well, maybe I shouldn't say that to anybody else. Like that. That's not what they didn't reject you. They just said they don't like going to church. I've had a conversation with somebody. They're like, oh, I don't believe in religion. I'm like, me either. I'm with you 100%. What? Let me invite you to my church. What? They don't know how to handle that. I want to be clear. I'm not asking anybody in this room to do something that I am not trying to do myself. I'm asking and calling myself out to a higher standard, to give up timidity, to be a little bolder with my faith. And what I'm saying today is not some sort of like, well, I sat around my office for the last several weeks trying to think of what's a really good church growth strategy. I don't need to come up with a church growth strategy. Jesus did. He said, you go make disciples. Called all of us to do that. Those are Jesus' last words. How many of you realize last words are kind of important? My sister's last words before she died, the last words that I heard her say were, because she passed away and then came back, she said, it's so beautiful, I want to go. Now, guess I'm never letting those words go, ever. They're deep in my heart. I went, what? Yeah, this thing's real. Jesus' last words were, listen, you, I've got authority, but I'm giving it to you. Now you go and make disciples. We don't go out in a spirit of timidity. We go out with a spirit of authority in our lives. My point is that every one of us is responsible to be the salt and light. And Jesus didn't sit around and go, one of these days, if you sit on the second row of church every single week, you'll become salt. He said, you are the salt. One of these days, if you make sure you give in all the offerings and, you know, if you show up and you have perfect attendance at church, you're going to be light. No, he said, you are the light. He was counting on us to reach the world. I'm believing God for a culture change in our church. And I want us to go back to basics, because to be a follower of Jesus 2,000 years ago is the same as it is today. Whatever he did, he wants us to go do. And he was out making disciples and he asks us to do the exact same thing. To go make disciples. I'm asking us today. And it is going to mean that we have to give up our fear, in a sense, of what others might think of us. I don't mean it in some sort of a weird Christian brash way. I was going to bring the bullhorn in here this morning and yell through the bullhorn like they do at the stadium. You know, you're going to hell. Well, I really want to go to your church. Thanks for inviting me. I really believe that the message is true, but their method is funky. I don't get it. You know, screaming at somebody that they're going to hell and waving signs at them and all that. I'm just saying, you know, the Bible says it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. You can do a lot by dropping a plant by somebody's office. You can do a lot by looking at somebody that's having a really awesome, really ragged day, and you can go, you know what? You're doing a fantastic job. Pulling aside a waiter, where we were in Phoenix the other day. In Phoenix, and this little kid, I mean, I came out of the restaurant industry, so I pay attention to stuff. And this kid, he's like 16. I guarantee it was first job. He's running around cleaning off the tables. And he comes up, and I go, hey, he's grabbing our plates. I go, what's your name? Hayden. I go, Hayden, you're doing a fantastic job. And then I grab money from my wife, because she's the only one that ever has cash on her. And next time he came around, I handed him a big old tip, and he's like, he didn't even really know what to do. It just, I think he was like shocked. And, you're doing a great job. I just want you to have this. This is for you. He puts it in his pocket. He kept going, kept working. But you could just see he was just on it. I'm just saying it doesn't It's time to be prompt, when the Holy Spirit's prompting you to be good to somebody, but for the purpose of changing their life, changing their world, changing their day, maybe changing their moment. All I know is this: I'm asking us that we would trade in our timidity, in a sense, in a spirit of fear, for this power, the power of love. It's love that compels me. I've got to tell you that as I'm calling you to do this, I also know that God's stirring something up in me. It's just a sense of urgency, and here's what I mean by that. I'm going to be 55. Some of you are like, oh, you're just a kid. Okay, stop saying that to me every time I say that, all right? Oh, you're just a kid. I'm not a kid. I'm 55. All right, knock it off. If I was a kid, I could handle the heights or something, but I can't. But if I got 40, let's just say I got 40 years left. That's a, 95, I'm thinking maybe something went wrong if I get to 95, but I'm just playing. So if I got 40 left, what am I going to do with the next 40? All I know is this: I just have this sense of urgency. Like, I don't know. Here's what I'm also believing. Give me, God, give me, and maybe you can chime in with this prayer prophetically. Lord, give me the energy of my 20s far into my 60s so that I can accomplish for you what I didn't accomplish when I had all that energy and I wasted it on incredibly stupid things. Hearing me? I'm like, in a sense, I'm going, why didn't I come to this revelation when I was 20? I'd have been so dangerous. I think. Maybe I overestimate myself. Here's the thing. When we go out and we're sharing, inviting someone to come to church, we're inviting them to come this Easter, we're making an effort to share your story. By the way, you don't have to preach a message to people. You don't have to tell them everything that, you know, you don't have to get into kind of theological stuff about Jesus. You know what? Just tell your story. That's the one thing they can't mess with, because it's your story. I once was blind, now I see. It's a pretty good story. Not a lot of theological stuff there, right? I was once addicted to drugs, and Jesus set me free, and I've been set free for 20-some-odd years. Wow, that's a good story. They can argue with it, but it's your story. They can't. What are they going to call you, a liar? You're free. It's your story, and share your story. And here's the thing. When we're out doing that, when we're out sharing, when we're out, I've got these Easter cards up here on the front. When we're out handing out an Easter card, letting somebody know, hey, listen, come sit with me. It's really, all we're doing is planting seeds. And it's not our job to make the seed grow. That's God's job. I used to think that I had to seal the deal. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you share Jesus with somebody, they're like, oh, I never knew that. I want Jesus right now. And then you're like, you know, okay, great. Now let's run to the pool and we'll baptize you. And I used to think I had to seal the deal. Let me just release you of that right now. Your job is just to plant the seeds and let God seal the deal. Let the Holy Spirit seal the deal. Go out and plant the seeds. And so I just want to encourage you, as you're going out, God's going to do something with it. But what might happen if you take a chance on the Lord? There's this incredible scripture where he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. But there's an awesome story that I got to allude to as we finish up today. Worship team, I want you to come. You know the story where Jesus, I'm going to paraphrase it. Is that okay for time's sake? Jesus walks up to the fishermen. They're cleaning their nets. And he says, in essence, what are you guys doing? Cleaning the nets. We've been out all night long fishing. He's like, did you catch anything? Nope. You can see we didn't catch anything. Duh. Anyway, you don't say Jesus to duh to Jesus. I'm paraphrasing. Jesus looks at him and said, well, let's get back in the boat. Here's the phrase that he says. Let's push out into deeper waters. Here's what I believe God's calling me to call you to. Here's what I know he's calling me to. I've been doing it my way a lot. And it's been somewhat successful. You reach some folks, and here's what the Lord, I believe, is asking me to do, to push out into deeper waters. And what might happen if I push out into deeper waters, to cast my nets on the other side of the boat into deeper waters? What if God's calling you and I to deeper waters with him? What if he's calling you to actually maybe share your faith in a special way this week, in such a way that it's like you've risked ridicule, but God got glory out of it. Somebody was invited to come, and you risked something on God. I believe he's calling us to deeper waters. I believe this is, in a sense, our you feed them moment. This is a moment where you've got an opportunity where you're like, well, of course, if the Lord wants them to be at church on Easter Sunday, they'll just wake up and have a desire. That might be true, but what if it was all in our hands? What if Jesus is saying, you know what, I do want to reach them, but I want you to go out and reach them. What if Jesus is saying, you go and make disciples, you go reach them, you go and compel them to come? What if that's what God is really saying to us? I'm calling for every Christian in the room to actually live and follow Jesus the way Jesus asked us to do, to put out into deep waters and to let down our nets for the bigger catch. Let me just end with this scripture. And then I'm going to ask you to do something, a call to action today. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, the Message version of this scripture says, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and it will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? It's just a Sunday thing, this Jesus thing. No. I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine. And I love the way he ends it. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. You know, go buy a $15 plant. Just see what happens. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Being generous with our lives. We automatically equate that with some sort of financial thing. It might mean that. It might mean that you reach into your pocket and hand somebody $5 when they're hungry. It might just mean that you invite them to come sit with you. Be generous. When was the last time you saw somebody brand new at church and you grabbed them and said, hey, I know you're new today. Sit with me. Wouldn't that feel good? Have you ever been to a family reunion? Anybody been to a family reunion? Have you ever been to mine? You know how awkward that would be if you showed up to my family reunion? You would feel really awkward. Even if I invited you, how much more awkward would it be if you showed up to my family reunion that I invited you to, but I didn't show up? Now you're there by yourself. That's what it feels like when someone comes to our church for the first time. So it wouldn't be an awesome thing if you just went to them and said, hey, sit with me today. And you actually got their name. What I'm going to ask you to do in the next few moments, in fact, I want you all to stand. I want to call us to something as they sing in a minute. We've made these personal this year. Again, I'm not trying to be tricky with this. This is not a church growth strategy. It's just another tool. This tool is going to do no good sitting on the altar here. It's not going to do any good getting into your purse and never making it out of your purse. It just simply says, sit with me this Easter. Has a place for your name, your phone number, and the service you're attending. So they can, now, and by the way, if you give this to somebody, make sure you come to that service. Because that'll be them showing up to your family reunion and you didn't show up. But this is an opportunity for you to share, an opportunity for them to meet Jesus, maybe for the first time. Or how many of you know somebody that used to go to church? They've been out of church for a while. That's one thing about you go to the South. You go to the South, everybody either goes to church or they can tell you what church they used to go to. You know somebody that used to go to church. This is what the opportunity is today. Where they're going to start singing in just a moment. And as they begin to sing, I want to invite you to do something with me. And everyone can do this. I am asking you to come and grab some of these. I'm asking you to come and grab what God puts on your heart. That's the weird thing. Most pastors will go, grab a stack of 1,000 and go for it. I don't want you to grab 1,000 because they're going to go sit on your dresser. Unless God tells you. But you might know 2, 3, 4 people. 10 people. 20 people. You invite 20, you invite 20, I invite 20, that's 60 people. I'm not good at math, it's a little early. That's 60 people. Do I think that us three of us can get 60 people to come to church? No, but what if we get one, two, what if we get three out of the 60 we invite? We still double on an Easter Sunday. I'm just saying we can do something. And I want you to do it personally. I love this. This is personal. This is not one of those, hey, come to our church thing. Come. You didn't even want it. See, she didn't even want it. She's all, I'm feeling rejected right now. You sense it. Okay, come to our church thing. No, this is more personal. This is like you might even know them. It's the waitress you see every Sunday because they wait on you every Sunday, whatever. I want you to come as they get ready to sing. I want you to grab a few of these. And again, someone always goes, let me have a whole bunch. I'll go to Walmart. No, no. Just do what it is God puts on your heart.